This is the Ethanol Report. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting was on Capitol Hill this past week for their annual Washington Watch, and the Renewable Fuels Association was once again pleased to participate. RFA President and CEO Bob Dineen was interviewed by dozens of broadcasters from around the country, including Sabrina Hill with AgNet West in California, who addressed a number of different topics. Here's her interview.
Bob, we are here at the 2015 National Association of Farm Broadcasters Washington Watch Issues Forum, and I want to thank you for your time today. I have a couple of questions for you here. First, trade is a big topic this week on Capitol Hill with TPA and Congress. We hear a lot from ag organizations about why this is important to them, but what about the ethanol industry? Does RFA have a stance on TPA, and would the ethanol industry stand to benefit from new trade agreements?
The Renewable Fuels Association does not have a formal position on TPA, but certainly we would all benefit from freer and fairer trade. I will say, however, that as it relates to Europe and the TTIP negotiations that are going on, I'm far less concerned about that than I am our government standing up for the ethanol industry and challenging at WTO a completely unjustified anti-dumping duty that has been applied not to companies as 100 years of trade law would suggest, but across the board for the entire industry. That is the single most significant threat to ethanol trade in Europe. So, you know, they can talk about TPA, they can talk about free trade agreements. I want this administration to get off the dime and to support this important domestic industry by challenging the Europeans on that anti-dumping duty.
All right. We're going to switch gears just a little bit, and I'm wondering, what is the current status of the low-carbon fuel standard in California? I understand they are working on an update to the standard that is more favorable to corn ethanol.
They're taking baby steps, and I congratulate them for that. But there is a growing body of evidence to suggest that their carbon scoring for biofuels generally, and ethanol specifically, is way behind the scientific curve. They need to update it more. They need to drop this fascination that they have with indirect land use that is not supported by the science. And they need to give corn ethanol a reasonable and fair chance to participate in that important market. Other areas that have looked at low-carbon fuel standards, like Vancouver, Canada, or Washington and Oregon, have not included indirect land use in their calculations. California needs to do the same thing. As it is right now, their program is broken. The lawsuit that we have against their program is still ripe and is ongoing. Hopefully, either through litigation or regulation, we can get the California program to reflect better science and to provide greater opportunities for all renewable fuels on a level playing field.
You know, also regarding the LCFS, is there still a lawsuit against it by ethanol interests, and what are your concerns about similar standards being adopted in other states like Oregon?
The lawsuit in California is still ripe. We still have several components of that suit to litigate. So it's not been dropped. It's not been thrown out. It is still an active lawsuit. As for other states, we have been working with Oregon and Washington and others on low-carbon fuel standards that make sense, that have scientific integrity, and that provide a fair and scientifically sound basis for which corn ethanol can compete.
Bob, new legislation was recently introduced in both houses that would require EPA to grant the same waiver to E15 as it has for E10, so it can be sold in the summer months. Now, what do you think about that legislation, and does it have a chance of passing?
I think it's great that members of Congress have recognized that the single most important challenge to the increased marketability of E15 is the unfair treatment that EPA currently gives to E15 with respect to volatility regulations. And so we support those members, we support the legislation. However, legislation should not be necessary. The agency has the regulatory authority today to provide parity with respect to E15 and E10 on volatility regulatory structure, and they need to do so.
EPA recently announced a timeline for finally getting the volume requirements under the RFS for 2014 accomplished, as well as 2015-2016. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great that EPA has finally set out a timeline. I think it is sad that it took a lawsuit and a court-sanctioned consent decree to get the agency to issue a timeline. And I would note that what we're talking about is just a timeline for a proposal and a final rule by November of 15 for the 2014 RVO and the 2015 RVO. EPA was supposed to be setting these standards prospectively, to be telling oil companies in November of 2015 how much ethanol they will need to blend in 2014 doesn't make a great deal of sense. So they were lost opportunities. What I am hopeful for is that the agency, in issuing these rules, also looks at 2016 and finally gets back on track with a program that is prospective so that you can drive the marketplace in the way that the legislation was intended to do. It wasn't supposed to be a look back. It wasn't supposed to say, hey, Exxon, how much ethanol did you happen to blend? We'll set the target there. No. It was supposed to drive ExxonMobil to do that which they will not do on their own, and that is to maximize the production and use of domestic renewable fuels like ethanol, cellulosic ethanol, and biodiesel. In evaluating what to do on the RFS, I hope both EPA and the President, and Congress for that matter, are paying attention to what Joe Public wants. We released a poll today that shows that 62% of voters support the RFS, compared with only 18% that oppose it. By a better than 3-to-1 margin, people across this country support a program that is going to provide consumer choice at the pump, reduce the pain with gas prices, reduce carbon from motor fuels, and reduce our dependence on imported oil. This program does that, and hopefully EPA is paying attention, not just to what the PR machine at the American Petroleum Institute is saying, but what the American people have said loud and clear.
All right, finally, you are here today with farm broadcasters from around the country at Washington Watch as a sponsor of the event. So tell me, why is NAFB so important to RFA?
Well, I happen to think that farm broadcasters are maybe the last segment of a once proud industry. They actually do their homework. They actually go out and interview people and dig up stories. They don't work off of the talking points sent to them by a PR machine, like they might do at those big media centers in New York or Los Angeles. So I think ag broadcasters as a group are the salt of the earth, and I just enjoy being with them and talking with them about issues that really matter to consumers, not just in rural America, but frankly all across this country. When, you know, let the media elites talk about the Kardashians. It is the farm broadcasters that are talking about GMOs, trying to get real information out there, that are talking about trade issues that impact the wallets of so many Americans, that are talking about energy issues in a real way, you know, food security. You know, ag broadcasters tend to talk about real issues with real people and real information. It's not about, you know, elections and horse races. It's not about, you know, pop culture. It's real news. So that's why I will always be there for this group of people.
Thank you so much for your time today. Again, Bob Dineen with the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Sabrina Hill.
And thanks so much to Sabrina for that great interview. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.